Welcome to Cinema Savants, your home for all your movie and TV news, with Todd Vandenberg, Lee Vowell, and Rob Steele. And coming up in this week's show, Movie Pass, Batwoman, Bane, and RoboCop. One of those does not actually belong in the title of the show, but first, I'd like to remind you to like the show on Facebook and subscribe on iTunes or the Google Play Store or YouTube, all of which will be there when we do the show next week, as opposed to MoviePass, which might not be, at least not at the rate they're going. It's dying very, very quickly to the point, and I didn't know this was a possibility. Did you see what happened to their stock? It wasn't yesterday. It was last Friday.
Yes.
Did you see their stock of the parent company, Helios and Matheson, which ice dancing team from somewhere. Anyway.
I didn't even know it was publicly traded, to be honest.
I didn't either, but the stock hit 4.8 cents a share. I didn't know it was possible to go that low.
Yeah, they did a 100-to-1 reverse stock split just to keep it listed on NASDAQ because it was going to drop below 10 cents.
I've got four dimes in front of me on my desk.
after they did that reverse stock split, it dropped again. So this is the second time it's dropped below a dime. This is after they artificially increased the value of the stock 100-fold. So yeah, they're not really in good shape. The reason they're not in good shape, and I'll have a question for Lee shortly, is because they're constantly changing the actual offering, regardless of what they say, and that changes like twice a week. Now supposedly they offer a broad range of films.
By broad,
not every film.
Three.
No, they've changed that. That's, according to their announcement, they offer six films. You get us like six films.
I'm getting like three updates a day on what
they do. Yes, exactly. I can't keep track. I really can't keep track of what they're doing.
I checked last night, and there were six films available at my local Regal, which is the closest theater to me. And I've just pulled it up now, and there are two films available. So, yeah, it changes on an hourly basis. And their statement is, they also said, well, you can go on our website, and you know, people complain, well, you can't really plan. It's like, oh, yes, you can, because you can go on our website, and you can see the list of the six films for that week. It's like, no, not really, because it clearly doesn't work, because they offer whatever the hell they feel like offering. And although I will give them credit, there are two showings available of Slender Man, and there are three showings available of Alpha. So that's a big improvement over, I don't know, a few days ago when there was one showing of Slender Man, and that was it. How on earth do you expect people to stay with the service when you have no idea if the service is going to give you any value whatsoever on an hourly, not weekly, not daily, on an hourly basis? You have no idea.
Minutely.
What you can get. Yeah, that'll be coming soon, I'm sure. So my question, they're making it a word, right? It's like, mm-hmm. let's track your stock value by the minute.
Bigly.
So Lee. Have you canceled your MoviePass yet? And are you prepared to cancel it again because they'll renew you automatically?
Exactly. Actually, I am. But the funny thing is, I can't remember if this was a national restaurant chain or not, but and they still exist. But one called Ruby Tuesday, and they used to be a very popular place. But they went through feels like years where it was like they kept changing their menu. They just wanted to find the right thing. And they started closing stores because, honestly, people had no idea what they were going to get when they showed up to a Ruby Tuesday. They changed it so often.
Right.
And it's like at some point you start overthinking so much about what you're trying to do that you lose grasp of, oh, we're here to serve in a way that should be consistent. At least we know what we're getting. I mean, this is ridiculous. Like Rob said, it's like I feel like I'm getting several updates a day, and it's like I honestly can't keep track. I would have to spend all my free time thinking what's MoviePass doing right now. But yeah, I mean, I know at this point, I don't think it's worth keeping. And even if I kept it, I wouldn't know what I was getting.
That's the point. It's for three movies a month. It's still worth it for $9.95. It's still a savings. It's really annoying that it's not 30 movies a month like it used to be. But what's frustrating is, like you just said, you have no idea what you're going to be able to see. No idea whatsoever. And despite what they claim, it's like I said, just 2 hours ago, or I'm sorry, it was 4 hours ago when I looked, and there were six movies available, and now there are two. It's ridiculous. It's so annoying, it's not worth keeping. If for anyone who does have an AMC theater near you, and if you don't, it's worthless, but they have the A-List, which is the competition. It's $20 a month, so it's twice as much, but it's three movies a week, which for most people, that's plenty of movies. It includes everything. I've booked a ticket to see The Meg this afternoon in something called D-Box, which basically changes it into almost like an amusement ride. That's a $20 ticket, and it's included in their thing. So I got my money's worth by going to one film, 3D, IMAX, it's all included in AMC's A-List thing. So if you have an AMC theater near you, I would definitely go to that, because there are no restrictions on movies at all, other than the fact that you've got to go to an AMC theater, and if there's not one close to you, well, no luck. But so anyway, I'll talk about that experience next week. But yeah, MoviePass is just beyond frustrating. I mean, it used to be what, Comcast was the poster child for terrible customer service? Well, they've got good news, because they have been blown off the map. I cannot recall anything as bad. And like you said, Ruby Tuesdays used to be a cool place to go to until you couldn't figure out what you were getting. But MoviePass has just gone beyond anything that I can recall for just a terrible customer experience.
I don't know. Brinks Home Security Systems has passed Comcast in my book, but that's a personal story that has nothing to do with movies.
sounds like a home invasion story.
No, really. Well, yeah, by Brinks, who bought my security company and doubled the price, and we kind of went, "I'm sorry, what?" So,
I just can't keep track of MoviePass, to be honest. It's almost like it changes as much as Renee Zellweger's face does.
That is really bizarre. That's a good segue, though. I was going to go with, did you notice that MoviePass and Netflix have the same color scheme going? Which brings us to Netflix and Renee Zellweger's new series. Huh? See, there's segues. Two of them, one for each wheel. She's doing a series that when I first saw it, it says Netflix is doing a What If series. And I thought, Netflix does Marvel, and Marvel did a really interesting series called What If, a long time ago, where it was, what happened if this character did this, or what if this happened instead of that, and let's follow this alternate storyline. I am slightly disappointed that this series has nothing to do with Marvel at all whatsoever. So that's the disappointing part. But that is exactly what they're doing with this. They're going to go back and look at key points in history and see what happens if Bob sneezed at the battle of this, causing this outcome to happen. Or something like that. I don't know.
Or if they chosen a British actress to play Bridget Jones instead of Renee Zellweger. That could be a what if.
That's like getting an American to play Batman. Just doesn't work as well.
That's true.
But I thought it sounded like an interesting series. I'm just slightly disappointed it's not the Marvel series, because I liked the Marvel series.
The Marvel series was great.
Speaking of Marvels and series, the Guardians of the Galaxy thing is apparently finally over, and James Gunn has actually said himself, look, I'm not coming back. Stop all the stuff. We need to move on. You know, he's being the grown-up out of this. Which I like. I think that's a good thing.
Yeah, that's a very good thing. You could say Disney is sticking to their guns, except for the one that matters.
Right.
Ho, ho, ho.
Ho, ho, ho.
Now I have a machine gun? No. Wow. So, yeah, James Gunn is gone, and there's not going to be as many guns in the second Iron Fist series, of which there is now a full trailer and what looks to be a considerably better choreographer.
I had not read, so I kind of want to apologize to Finn, who plays the Iron Fist, Danny Rand. Apparently, he had 3 weeks to train. At least that's what he claimed in an interview that I read last week. 3 weeks to train for the role of Danny Rand.
That's not enough.
That goes on Marvel. That doesn't go on him. I mean, how on earth can you possibly be prepared to portray the greatest martial artist on the planet in 3 weeks. That just doesn't work. That wouldn't work if you're an MMA fighter, you know, let alone an actor. So that's just ridiculous.
I like the idea when they originally cast the character, and this is back early 2000s, they wanted Ray Park to do it.
Ray Parker Jr.?
No.
I would totally buy into Ray Parker Jr.
Wow.
No, Ray Park of Darth Maul and
right.
the bizarrely effective Toad in the X-Men movies.
Indeed. Yeah,
finally made Toad a decent character, and you blew him up. Fine, be that way.
he's a little old for Danny Rand, though. That's a problem.
At this point, yes.
Yeah. So.
But I'm sure there's other people who, you know, again, I'm not knocking the guy who plays him now.
I'm sure there are other people who could have done it. But apparently the big problem wasn't so much him. It's just the amount of prep time that they had, which that's on them. There was no reason for them to, let's do Iron Fist. We got 3 weeks to start filming. That's kind of stupid. So,
yeah, you think as much money is being put into anything nowadays that why would they? Do you believe the 3 weeks? Maybe it's not being factual.
Yeah,
I think even if it's 3 months, that's not enough.
No, it isn't. And I just kind of wonder, it's like, okay, if he was told he's got this gig and maybe he didn't really do the research and realize, I've got to do some training, but that's still on them to tell him, okay, as soon as you sign the contract, you're going to be in training. So, yeah, unless he's just flat out lying, then yeah. And I can see something like that. It's kind of hard to believe something like that would slip through the cracks for Marvel, but corporations do screw up. So Marvel has had their missteps in the past, for sure. So,
Let's see. CW has also had their missteps with the – well, I guess it's Warner Brothers and CW to an extent with their DC-related series. There needs to be a better plural of series. There really does. Anyway.
Siri. Maybe it's Siri.
No, that's the Apple assistant. The forthcoming Batwoman series cast an actress named Ruby Rose as the main character, who we already knew is, from the books, Jewish and gay.
Mm-hmm,
which,
mm-hmm.
Hey, that's go right ahead. I don't see an issue with that. Except she has gotten a lot of criticism. I mean, since the last show, she's quit Twitter, bullied off of it.
Right.
Because she's, let's see, where's the quote that I had? I had this, I covered this a bit on the FWAT show, but I know we can do more of it here. Before she deleted her Twitter account, she put out a statement that said, "Where on earth did Ruby is not a lesbian, therefore she can't be Batwoman come from? Mm-hmm. Has to be the funniest, most ridiculous thing I've ever read. I came out at 12 and have for the past 5 years had to deal with she's too gay. How do y'all flip like that? I didn't change. I wish we would all support each other and our journeys. I'm with her entirely on that."
It's beyond me. I read one of the criticisms where apparently some people didn't realize she was gay, which makes
that was the first thing I found. I wasn't sure who she was, so I looked her up, and she's a gay lesbian actress. And I'm like, I'm not sure that needs to be the first thing I read about her, but
yeah. And I've also read that she's pansexual, and that was the problem for some people. And I don't really think that she has to perform a sex act as Batwoman. And even if she did, she's an actress. Her personal sexuality should make no difference.
Weren't they both?
Yeah.
Going in?
Yeah, pretty sure. I don't remember that there was a lot of complaint about that. But of course, if they were making that film now, I guarantee you there would be the huge storms of protest. Is like, they're not gay, they can't play those roles. It is amazingly ridiculous and stupid how this crap has started, where it's like, well, okay. I mean, we're getting to the point that if an actor doesn't have blonde hair that's cut to within 3/4 of an inch of their scalp, and they're not 6'3" and a half, and they're left-handed, and they really like iced tea with lemon, no sugar, they can't possibly play a role that demands that. It's acting. You don't have to fit the role perfectly. My God, it's absolutely insane.
You don't have to be the character to act like the character.
Oh, my God. It's just... It's ridiculous that she's had to quit, and she's far from the first actor who's just left social media because they're sick of the crap that they have to take. I guess it's the fanboy movement. I mean, the backlash that they've had. If a film doesn't meet their expectations, oh my God, it's awful. And they should not be allowed to work on this. And, you know, man. But before anything has even started on the project, let alone you're seeing the finished project. Yeah, that happens far too often.
Yet.
Right.
I'm not even sure they finished the script.
And let me be clear. They're not talking about her abilities as an actress. They're talking about her personal qualities. There's a world of difference between saying, oh, this person shouldn't do this film because this person's terrible at their job, and saying, oh, this person doesn't fit because they don't represent that character's personality in their real life. That's why it's called acting, stupid asses.
Be nice if we could get that right, but until it's going to be a while before we get there, I think.
Oh, I don't think we'll ever get there, sadly. I really don't.
Not in our lifetime, anyway.
Not in mine, that's for sure. I mean, I'm checking the calendar.
Not in yours.
No, sorry. Hell no.
Well, the funny thing is, if you asked me the same question 4 years ago, I would think, yeah, no.
Excellent point, right? Sadly, but true.
So sticking with the Bat theme, Fox's Gotham series is coming up on its fifth, and we keep being told final season. Yay. And they said that they're going to include the father of Bane in this series, but they phrased it as the father of one of Batman's most iconic villains.
Now, can I interject something here just for a moment before we get onto the real topic? Right. I think that show should be shelved because none of those people are actual high school kids who are going to be supervillains. So clearly it's just a terrible mess.
Oh, absolutely.
Anyway, back to the father of, actually back to the status of Bane as an iconic Batman villain.
I don't think Bane was not introduced in Batman until 93.
Mm-hmm. That's true.
To me, the iconic Bat villains, Joker, Penguin, Riddler, and Catwoman, maybe Mr. Freeze. And I think everybody else is secondary.
You do know that's 25 years, right?
Yeah, I was about to say that's 25 years ago. So
I agree with you. Because
most
yeah.
of the villains that I just mentioned are almost 80. But yeah, I guess it's 25, but it's still not, he's not iconic. When you think Batman, Joker, Penguin, and Riddler, and Catwoman pretty much immediately spring to mind.
I think the difference is Bane was the first character who ended Batman's career, even though it was temporary. And I think that helps give him iconic status. I mean, the Joker didn't break his back and put him on the shelf for a year. And the Penguin didn't. And I mean, I think that makes part of the difference. And I mean,
it was an iconic story.
It's kind of, it gets to the definition of what an icon is. It's like the Hall of Fame. I mean, in any sport, but in the Baseball Hall of Fame, you got people who are Hall of Famers. And then you've got, it's like, okay, well, you got Ty Cobb, you got Babe Ruth, you got Hank Aaron. I mean, yeah, okay, there's the Hall of Fame, and then there's the Hall of Fame. And I get what you're saying. It's like Bane is not up there with it. But to me, the Joker is it. And yeah. Everybody else is secondary after that.
Yeah,
so
I agree with that.
Bane, maybe he's like on the second and a half tier or something. I understand what you're saying. But
when you mention some of the Bat villains, even people who don't know Batman go, oh, Two-Face looks like this. You know, Poison Ivy, I have a general idea of what she looks like. Harley Quinn, kind of know what she looks like. You say Bane and people go, No,
I don't agree.
Yeah.
Bane is totally up there with those characters, but... Yeah. But...
All right.
Yeah. That's... he's a major character. And if they had said a major character, then yeah.
Yeah, I wouldn't have had
We wouldn't have had this discussion at all. But yeah, 25 years, and it's certainly a major role. But yeah, to me, it's like, okay, the iconic character is the Joker, which is why the Joker's always out there.
Whether and how many people of watching it are going to be, you know, 25, much older than 25? Maybe there's a lot, but you know, if you're 25 or younger and you're spending money going to the movies, then Bane may be an iconic person.
Oh, cars, and that's true.
Cars are classics after 20, so.
For the crowd that's watching Gotham, Bane is an iconic character. That's true. Because I get most of the people watching Gotham are probably younger than the character of Bane.
But Dad, I don't want to go to bed yet. I got school in the morning. Off to bed with you. But they haven't shown Bane's dad yet.
Yeah, the whole thing is like Bane's dad, really. So okay, so this means that Bane is going to that high school. Is that what that means? Is
I
that
don't
how
know.
Absolutely stupid they've gotten with this show?
And the principal is named Fish Mooney.
Yeah.
He gets eaten by the penguin.
Yeah, it's
Which
just
makes sense because his name's Fish and he gets eaten by a penguin. Anyway.
Anyway. Moving on to another series I don't see any of us caring for.
I love it. I love it already.
Star Wars Resistance. Because that's going to be a thing on Sunday, October 7th, when the show launches. It's a Star Wars animated movie, which I might have liked if I was still 7. Which is why they put it on the Disney Channel. It's got Poe Dameron in it, so it's set in what I'm calling the Aftermath series. Because you've got the original trilogy, the prequel trilogy, and now the Aftermath trilogy. Where everything has fallen apart and no one really cares anymore, I don't think.
And that's almost as good as Aftermath.
No, Aftermath was better. It had Radar in it. This has got Poe. I would rather have Radar than Poe.
Can Radar be in the Aftermath trilogy? I would probably be more interested in the films if he was in it.
Very much so. And
that would be fun.
It's a cel-shaded animation series. I haven't cared for cel-shading style since the mid-90s? It came out and we all went, ooh, that's pretty. And then about 10 minutes later, we all went, yeah, but it gives me a headache. Ew.
They're bringing it back. They're bringing it back, baby. Maybe Gotham will go to cel shading at the end. That'll be fun.
I think cel shading is iconic.
Okay. We'll move on to iconic then. Neil Blomkamp. I keep getting, I swear I read it as Blomkamp every time. That's a Bond villain. Blomkamp, who is directing RoboCop Returns, which is something of a reboot of RoboCop, except it's going to be a direct sequel to the original series, and he says he wants Peter Weller to continue to play RoboCop.
That would be awesome. I don't care how old Peter Weller is. There's no reason for him not to play RoboCop.
He is now 71.
I don't think the age makes a difference, though, with RoboCop.
No.
It doesn't. I mean, he walks slow anyway.
Right.
You know, just tighten up the legs, the armor on the legs, so he doesn't need a cane. There we go.
I think it would be awesome to put him in. I mean, that's just like, okay, so here we are. We're at RoboCop, and I assume since he's talking about Weller, and hopefully they wouldn't do a lot of the de-ageifying, that we'd be looking at RoboCop 30 years later, what's going on in Detroit. That would be fantastic.
The idea is that they wouldn't do any aging because the film is going to deal with a RoboCop that has been around for decades.
There you go. That would be beautiful.
I think that works.
Weller was great in the original Water. I mean, that's one of my favorite movies. To me, that's one of the 10 best movies of the 80s because it says so much about corporate greed and identity, and it's got all that going on. And Weller's awesome in that role. So that would be fantastic. And surely he just doesn't have like a full calendar these days. So I would think he would be kind of happy to get a shot at that.
Last time we saw him was Star Trek's Into Darkness. So sure. It seems like his calendar is a bit free.
He actually did some History Channel stuff. He was, this was a couple of years ago. He did a, because he's a professor, right? At Syracuse?
That might be.
Yeah, anyway, he did a History Channel. He did narration, but it was more like he was interactive with it. It was really cool, actually. Well done. I'm trying to remember the name of it.
He is a very cool dude. But that would be fantastic. And that I was happy to hear that Blomkamp was doing RoboCop, because I think he's just a terrific director and has a very cool vision. And this is like, okay, now then I'm doubling down. Unfortunately, I won't be using MoviePass to watch it when it comes out, but that's okay. It may wind up on Netflix, because God knows they seem to be buying half of the new properties these days, but that would be awesome if Peter Weller comes back for that project.
Engineering an Empire?
That sounds right. Yeah, and he's got a PhD, which is interestingly enough, but he did teach at Syracuse for a bit for Roman and Renaissance art.
Not what I would have expected.
He is a Renaissance man.
Yes, he has a PhD in Italian Renaissance art history. Well, who knew?
Oh, so he actually should be playing Hannibal Lecter. So
I can see that, actually.
Oh my God, yeah, definitely.
Could be playing Jason Bourne, but he's a bit old. Jason Bourne's dad.
Yeah, he can play Jason Bourne with Bane's dad.
Anyway, USA Network has decided to order a series called Treadstone, which is based on the Bourne franchise. It's supposed to be coming out in, 2020? So they're...
Is it a prequel to the movies?
It is. It centers around the Black Op organization Treadstone. First season follows sleeper agents across the globe as they're mysteriously awakened to resume their deadly missions.
That could be interesting, but it also makes me... I'm surprised that USA Network is still
a network?
And it's still in existence, yeah. That was the more interesting thing to me. It's like, USA Network, really? That kind of makes me wonder about how good Treadstone's going to be, if that's what they could land. Why is this not on Amazon Prime or HBO or Hulu or Netflix or it wouldn't be on the CW, because, you know, I'm sure the leads aren't 15 years old. But
or gay enough.
Other than that, yeah, they're not gay enough. That makes me kind of wonder how good this is going to be if USA Network landed it. I mean, they couldn't even keep Raw, right? So,
well, they still have WWE Raw, but they're getting SmackDown.
They lost SmackDown. Okay, well, there you go. That's the only thing I know of that's on USA.
Well, they had a show called Shooter based on the Mark Wahlberg film, but that got canceled.
Mm-hmm.
So, darn. And unless we have something else to go with, I'm going to end on this really weird note that I came across. You guys have anything else? Anything going once, going twice?
I'll say this real fast. It's not a review, but I saw When Harry Met Sally not this past Friday, Friday before. I hadn't seen it in a while. I just forgot how freaking great the dialogue is in that movie. It's just extremely well written.
It
Maybe
is.
Maybe we could have that on the review show on Friday.
That would be excellent.
Maybe. Could be. Something to look forward to. See?
I think it came out, 95? So it's iconic. So
it is iconic regardless of when it came out.
Wow. You know, someone else who is somewhat considered iconic, Mary J. Blige, who I keep wanting to say Bilge, and I'm sorry, that's not right. Mary J. Blige.
What is wrong with you?
I'm dyslexic in trying to read white type on a black screen. Wow. Anyway, she's signed on to do MTV's Scream series, which apparently is going into this is something I don't understand. It's called a limited series. Here's the third season. I haven't watched MTV since 95 when they stopped showing music videos.
Well, it's limited in that they eventually assume they'll cancel it. That's kind of a strange definition, isn't it?
That is so bizarre.
The third season of our limited series. Maybe they just have two episodes a season. Maybe they're going the BBC route. Like Luther. There's some seasons of Luther that I think are like three shows. I know there are some that are four.
Yeah, but they're 2 hours.
Ah, well, there you go.
Yeah.
They should only be two.
You know, Sherlock is, you know, 3 hours. It's not, I don't think of Sherlock as TV movie seasons. It's, or TV show seasons. It's TV movie seasons. So they're 3 2-hour movies.
Right. It's almost more like a miniseries than it is a TV show. The way they film it. And BBC does, you know, they usually do a lot of 8-episode seasons. I've never even heard of the show because I'm like you. I haven't watched MTV since it actually stood for music television and you saw videos instead of whatever crap they show right now. But I like her. I've seen her in several movies. She's likable. But I don't know about this. I wonder what role she plays in a screen show.
She is set to play Sherry Elliott, the mother of the lead character, Dean Elliott.
Mm-hmm. Bean. That's a great...
I'm sorry, that's not Dean, is it? I swear I can read. I really can't. Delon Elliott.
Oh, because that makes just as much sense. I would have probably read it as Dean as well. There's no... Sydney is not the main character. Okay, gotcha.
Right.
That's all you were really caring about.
It's really, I was just like, is Neve Campbell on this show at all? Watch it.
Okay. And that's a good note to end this show on. Come back on Friday when we have reviews of stuff. We haven't figured out what we're reviewing yet, but it'll be worth listening to. So come back then. In the meantime, go watch a movie.
Captain, we're losing power on the warp engines.
I think we should be leaving now.
I'm going to go home and sleep with my wife.
And on that unusually harmonious bombshell, it is time to end.
I am very disappointed!
Man, we have a weird job.
It's shameful, but it's a living.
And like that, he's gone.
Darn, that's the end.